Well, good evening, church. Hope all is well. It's Pastor Greg coming to you from my office. And we are studying the book of Ephesians on Wednesday nights. And if you have not had a chance to join us, I encourage you to come on out for that. We our focus on Wednesday nights, just to remind you, is more of a home fellowship kind of Bible study. We sit in sort of a circle and encourage comments and questions, and it's a good time. So we're going through Ephesians. We are currently in chapter 2, and tonight we're going to be talking about being reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the phrase "the blood of Christ" is used several times in the Scripture in the New Testament, and it's kind of an expression of the sacrificial death and the atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, the behalf of sinners, right? So references to the Savior's blood include, you know, the reality that he literally bled on the cross. We know that from Scripture. And more significantly, that he bled and died for sinners. And we know that is spelled out in pretty good detail throughout the Gospels. So tonight, when we look at the blood of Christ, it has, you know, the power to atone for many things, but three things are just mind-blowing. Number one, it's the blood of Christ has the power to atone for an infinite amount or number of sins committed by an infinite amount of people throughout ages, right? And those faith, you know, whose faith that rests in the blood will be saved. And so that's, you know, that's an amazing thing as we talk about tonight. This really cool topic of the blood of Christ. In our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, I'll begin reading and you can follow along. It says, "Therefore, remember that you were formerly, you who were Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by the human hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world." Verse 13, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." Father, we pray blessing upon your word tonight, Lord, as we study. And I pray, God, that you give us insight into your scripture and that we could attach this to our soul for the sake of the growth of the kingdom, in Jesus' name. So we're here tonight to do a few things. Bible says to study, to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you, that is me, and that is our goal. So observation. So by birth, right, the Apostle Paul here is developing this after the fact that he talked about, you know, this wonderful set of blessings that we were going to have. And remember, we're talking about the standing. The first three chapters are the standing in Christ. And now we're talking about where we stand with respect to the blood of the Lamb and why that's so important, the blood of Jesus Christ over us. So he's communicating here that the Gentiles, by birth, right, by the very fact that they were born outside of being Hebrews, were separated from God. And not only were they separated from God, but all the promises and the covenants were for the Hebrews only, not for the Gentiles. That they had the covenants and the commandments, and they had the sign of circumcision. This is everything that God promised the Hebrews throughout the scope of their relationship. And because Jesus was part of that covenant, the Messiah, they were cut off from the Savior as well, right? So here you have these Gentiles that are completely separated from God. And the Paul points out that three things about that state. They were without hope, they were without God, and they were in a miserable state, right? And what happens? What happens to these people that were completely without hope, completely without God, cut off from all the commandments, cut off from the covenants, cut off from the blessing, cut off from all the promises? What happened? The amazing thing happened, and that's Jesus Christ. And we need to remind ourselves of that, guys, that there are people walking around the world right now that are in that condition, right? They are completely cut off from God, not because God wants to be cut off from them, but because they have cut themselves out from God. So what a miserable state, right? And what happens when we meet Jesus is he changes all that. And you go from not having anything to having everything. Everything that they were without, they now possess. Let me repeat that. Everything that they were without, the promises, the commandments, all of the covenants, all of the receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, no hope, no God, that miserable state that they were in. What does he say here? He says, everything that they were without, they now possess. All because of Jesus. The Gentiles were strangers from the promise. And what does he do? He brings them. He says, but now are brought into the same promise and the covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to be studying Scripture, it should always be for the purpose of making sure that you're able to communicate in a very succinct way the things that you're learning, right? Study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. We learn how to rightly divide so that we can share it with others. So this idea that these Gentiles had nothing, and because of Jesus, they now have everything, that is an amazing tool that we have when we minister to the lost, when we minister to the unsaved, right? You could use the Gentiles as a sort of a model of what they're going to experience. They go from one day being cut off to the next day being drawn near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And being drawn to God is awesome. We're going to talk about that next week in our study of Ephesians. It just gets better from here. So a couple of things in interpretation. First of all, the blood of Christ had a meaning back in the Old Testament, through the Mosaic Law, because we know that the priests had a responsibility. So once a year, the priest was to make an offering of the blood of animals on the altar of the temple for the sins of the people, right? And Hebrews chapter 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, or there is no remission of sin, or the taking away of sin. But this blood offering was limited, right, in its effectiveness, which is why it had to be offered again and again and again. That's why the Bible says that the Old Testament is a lesser covenant and the promise of Jesus is a better covenant. It's a better covenant because one sacrifice was made. This foreshadowing once and for all sacrifice which Jesus offered on the cross. Once that sacrifice was made, there was no longer a need. The need for the blood of bulls and goats was gone, right? It didn't exist any longer. The blood of Christ is the idea here, in that once it's offered, that's it. That's it, period. The second thing is the blood of Christ is the basis of the new covenant, right? And we talked about the Old Testament, now we're talking about the New Testament. So on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, when he was on the, went to the cross, Jesus offered a cup of wine to his disciples, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, Luke 22:20. The pouring of the wine in the cup, it symbolized the blood of Christ, which would be poured out for all who would ever believe in him, right? And he said, this is the covenant, this is the new covenant, my blood poured out for you. And when he shed his blood on the cross, he did away with the old covenant requirement for the continual sacrifice of animals. The blood was not sufficient to cover the sins of the people, except on a temporary basis, because the sin against a holy and infinite God requires a holy and infinite sacrifice. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the propitiation for our sin. That means he was the exact and only sacrifice that was acceptable for God. Yes, the blood of bulls and animals took away sins, right? But it wasn't sustaining. That's why this covenant that Jesus offers is a better covenant based on better promises. And while the blood of bulls and goats, were a reminder of sin, the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb without blemish or defect, that was what was necessary. It paid in full the debt of sin we owe to God. And needed no further sacrifice for that sin. So Jesus said, it is finished. And when he said this, dying, he meant that the entire work of redemption was completed forever, having obtained eternal redemption for us, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. So when we look at the fact that, you know, I'm always trying to teach you guys ways that when you minister to people, you don't have to open up your Bible and read something out. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. That's a great thing. But sharing the gospel should be much more conversational, right? And one of the things that people really need to know these days is that this trying to get close to God by doing stuff is never going to work, because the sacrifice, if we truly understand Jesus, if we confess him, if we believe in him, and if we ask him to come into our life, if we truly believe that, then we are washed in the blood of the Lamb and there is no need for another sacrifice. And we don't have to continue to offer up anything except a sacrifice of praise, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable duty. So I want you to understand that this is, it has a lot to do with how we share our faith, especially with the amount of passion that we can do that with. We have been radically saved. You and I were Gentiles cut off from God. But because of Jesus, we've been invited to draw near to him by what? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of his Son. You know, most of you listening to this sermon know me, and you know that recently, within the last, year and a half or so, almost 2 years now, I lost my son, and I lost my son to a terrible car accident. He was in the Army serving our country up in Seattle, and he was on a weekend where he was not serving. He was living on the base, but doing other stuff, and he was on the 5 freeway and had a terrible car crash, and it took his life. And I went up there after the funeral services here to go to a memorial for his company that he served in. And when I went up there with my family, we drove by quickly on the 5, the mile marker where he had crashed. And it was devastating just for that. And I could remember trying to think of what it looked like. And I'm, there's nothing good that comes from losing a son. But one of the things that came out of this was I didn't have to see the scene of the accident. I didn't have to see my son. By the time I saw him, they had already done work on him and he was in a casket. But could you imagine? I say all that to say this, that God watched his son die for you and for me. I mean, that may not be much to you, but it's everything to me, because I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I couldn't watch my son die. And God did it for you and for me. God did it for that person that you want to share Jesus Christ with, right? So what does all that mean? So that in application tonight, guys, the blood of Christ redeems believers from sin and eternal punishment. That's what it does. And we need to be proclaiming that, right? Number two, the blood of Christ, we are now free from having to offer sacrifices which are useless to obtain salvation. We are given salvation simply because we ask and believe and confess. So we don't have to continue to offer useless sacrifices that are a patch. That's all it is a patch. It's a patch. It doesn't fix anything. We are free, number three, from having to rely on worthless and unproductive works of the flesh to please God, because we're new creations in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Last week, we learned that we were made alive in him. And number four, the blood of Christ has redeemed us completely, and his blood has freed us from the sin to serve the living God and to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. That's what the blood does. It allows us for us to draw near. Let me read this scripture once again tonight before I pray. It says, therefore, remember that you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is the Hebrews, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood. Oh, thank the Lord for that, my friend. Thank the Lord. He is good. I hope this message has blessed you tonight. I hope it is sort of ammunition for you to go out and share your faith, because there's somebody in your life right now that needs to hear this message. And maybe you're listening to me online and you have heard the word of truth and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm telling you right now, it's the simplest thing you're ever going to do. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and died on the cross for you, and you will be saved. You will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You will be filled with the Spirit. You will be given the gifts of the Spirit. You will be given the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most powerful force in the universe, raised Jesus from the dead and formed him in the womb. You will be set free. If you made that decision, find the phone number on the website that you're on and give us a call and share with us the faith that you now walk in, and we will rejoice with you. If you listen regularly, then you know what I'm about to say. He has shown you, O man and O woman, me and you, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you guys.